Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing, and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Dive to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. Hey guys, it is Kitty, and today I have with me Kelly Paris, who is the founder and director of Break the Silence platform and the festival. I'm just going to read some information that I have about it. This is where they use music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery. They are creating a community where it's okay to have those hard conversations. Welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know you know this, but I truly do love so much everything that you do. And the more like I dive into it, I feel such a connection to it, because when I saw your stuff, I was like, oh, I want to be her when I grow up. Like, that is literally, I didn't know that there was anyone else that let alone someone who is established with those things. I didn't know that there was anything else like that. And people keep telling me if I would just change the way I interview, or if I would just do this, then maybe I would have more people when I come to the podcast and stuff like that. I'm like, no, this is so important.
Yeah, don't ever change you. I'm honestly learning that for real. Yeah. And it's so exciting to meet people like you, for example, and the way that we met, you know, because of music and our connection to music and what that means for not only mental health, but like an overall general, you know, well-being and recovery. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And I, for anybody who doesn't know, I get to be a part of it this year. I'm very excited through a random string of, I guess, reaching out of our comfort zone. I was able to connect with Kelly, and I'm going to get to be a part of that. So I'm going to jump right in. You ready?
Yeah, tiptoeing out of your comfort zone, sometimes getting out of your bubble brings you awesomeness. So
It does. And I told you this, and everybody knows that I'm really big, like, I'm just going to check it out and see what happens. And I'm big on universe, God, source, whatever anybody wants to call it. And I looked all day long, you know, actually at work in between things. And I was like, I really want to do a music festival, but I just don't see anything that's like what I want to do. And I looked for off and on for a couple hours, and then through my break I did, and there was nothing that was like, that's it. And then I randomly saw, I think Otherwise posted that they were going to be there. And I was like, what's this? Maybe I can just go to that concert instead of go do a festival. I'll just go watch them in concert again. And I was like, oh man, that's it. That's it right there. So you were dropped right there for me to see. And I was like, this is just so amazing. Amazing. Can you take me through, I know there's a lot, but can you take me through kind of some of your journey, whatever you're comfortable with, to like the conception of the platform and a Break the Silence?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Even when you told me that story, you know, when you called me that day, I was just like, fruit universe, like my arm hairs were sticking up. And I was like, this is seriously so cool. So
I love it.
Yeah, it sounds like we could go way back, you know, and I could give, I've always struggled with mental health, I guess, or wellness, just not knowing really that's what it was, you know, when I was younger and being a kid, like going through school anyway, or just being a teenager is hard enough. But I was bullied and that happened. And I utilized substances at a young age, started, you know, experimenting. And I made an attempt when I was 16 that, thank God to this day, you know, for allowing me to live through that experience, but not processing it then. Like, I tucked it away and I didn't share any of those feelings, thoughts, emotions, anything with anybody. Really, until I was well into my 30s, I would go to therapy or counseling or whatever. But it's kind of like one of those things where I was self-medicating my unchecked mental illness, and I was going to the doctor, in a couple of different towns, getting the Xanax, you know, because that's what I was utilizing at the
Sure.
time. And it was kind of like avoidance. You tell them what they need to hear, but you're not really looking to accept any of that or make any changes. And so that was hard. And you come to justify certain behaviors or whatever when you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. But I felt like I was kind of lost. I wasn't doing drugs anymore, hardcore street drugs. I didn't really know what was going on with my mental state, but I started seeing a psychiatrist and got off those, realized after taking DNA tests, which is actually really cool. I didn't know you could take a DNA test and determine what meds your body can metabolize and what
I did not
meds
know that
your
either.
body cannot. And so it was really beneficial in
That's
knowing
interesting.
the issue that I have with certain medications not working, for example, like being on bipolar medications when I wasn't bipolar or whatever. So I started going to therapy regularly, and I really love my therapist, but then she retired, and I felt like I didn't need any of that. And I got married and had a family, and as things do, they get heavier when you don't address them. Those burdens, drowning my sorrows with alcohol instead of, you know, prescriptions. Now I'm taking, you know, mental health meds and saying, oh, I don't need the Xanax, or I mean, I don't need, you know, whatever. I'm gonna drink tonight instead. So, I made that decision when my daughter was three that that wasn't the kind of parent that I wanted to be. I could no longer justify the fact that I was actually a functioning alcoholic. I could not hide from that. And I, at that point, was like really struggling. I stopped using substances, but I still wasn't okay. And I had a lot of overwhelm, and they don't use the word. I don't know what the term is now for a mental breakdown, because it's you know, not clinically correct.
Right.
That's what happened. I had a legit mental breakdown, and I wound up going to a 28-day program. Didn't really know that's what I needed, but the year prior is when Break the Silence was born. Oddly enough, I was like, I don't know who, what, when, where, why, or how. But I know that I want to be a voice for this cause. It's really important to me. And music has always been like my escape. It's been the only constant in my life since I was a kid. Never lets you down. It doesn't disappoint. You hit play, and baby, you get whatever you're
Yeah.
looking for, you know, coming out of that boom box at that time.
Yeah, right.
AM,
Ghetto
FM,
blaster.
antenna radio, right? Like, we're going back in the day, and you know, I had my cassette tapes that I would literally burn out. And so I was like, how do I do this? And I found some really cool people to help me with, like, sound and lighting, and still the same, you know, core team that I work with to this day. But they believed in me, and they believed in the message, and heard, you know, kind of away. Hey, we hear you, but you know, this is how we can help. And we put that first event together, and it was really awesome. And people came, and they saw, and bands came, and it was super awesome. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know how I'm going to keep doing this, but this was really cool. And I heard life-changing stories from people that day. And people told me, hey, I came here and I heard what you had to say. And because of that, I'm going to get help. And I was just like, wow, okay, that is not what I was expecting, but that's amazing. So awesome. If I can do this for other people, then I can figure out how to do this for myself, right? And so I went to this psychiatrist who I didn't want to listen to like years before, because she said I had things that I needed to address. You don't
You
want
don't know me.
to, yeah,
You
you
don't know
don't
me.
tell me what to do with my
Tell
life.
me what to
So
do. Right.
So I was like, all right, hey, I'm at this place. It's Thanksgiving Day. I'm having like a legit breakdown. I'm in, and at this point I had a lot of rage because this overwhelm would present as
Anger.
anger and hurt and rage or whatever. And so I had a blow up. I vividly remember I'm like cleaning the house, getting ready for Thanksgiving at the time. And like my husband at the time, ex-husband now, but he was making dinner and I had a meltdown because the vacuum wouldn't do whatever it was supposed to be doing. And I got angry and I like threw it and then it made a big mess because of course it flew apart into a bunch of pieces.
Sure.
Like in a nutshell, I spent probably like 4 or 5 hours in the bathroom crying and like considering that I was like ready to check out and how was I gonna make that happen? Do I, you know, what is that? And my daughter came knocking on the door and she's like, Mommy, are you okay? Can I come in and give you a hug? And I was just like angry and hurt. And, you know, at that point, I was just like, no, just leave me alone right now. Mommy doesn't want a hug. And she was crushed. And I just remember thinking, what did I just do? And I knew at that moment, like, I was not okay. And if I was going to continue doing this mission or whatever I wanted to do, then I'm telling people it's okay to be in that position. I need to figure this out then for myself.
Yeah.
And I called the lady from 5 years before who I pretty much like, if I'm moving away, I don't need you. Do, 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 got
Yeah.
my I drove off that day thinking like she don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Like
Yep.
and I left a message and it was like super emotional, obviously, because I'm like here to say that like, hey lady, you were right. And like I'm pretty like I don't know who else to talk to. So she called me back a couple days later or whatever and apologized because it was the holiday and she didn't get my message. And she said, oh, I remember you. Can you come in and talk to me? And on Monday or whatever it was, she was like, I'm going to get your file out of cold storage because, you know, I'm going to make space for you. And she did. And it was great, but it wasn't enough. You know, I would go every 2 weeks or whatever it was. And finally, she told me after 4 months of like equine therapy and DBT and whatever else, you know, she's like, you need to take some time off. Damn right I do. This would be great. Sounds wonderful. I'm into it. I'll sit around, watch garbage TV, eat garbage
Right.
food, and you know, take a break. Couple weeks, I have some
Yeah.
vacation, no problem. And she's like, no, I mean, you really need to go somewhere and get some like legitimate help. And at this point, I was like, I don't know about that. Doesn't really sound like something that I'm into, you know, going away for
Yeah.
3 days. To this place in New Mexico, which obviously they saved my life. They changed my life. I'm actually really sad that they're permanently closed because it was called Life Healing Center. And when I called them, because I promised her, I was like, okay, I'll make one promise. And that's just that I'll call and I'll check it out and I'll tell them the truth. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
And it was like, and honestly, it was one of the most difficult conversations that I've ever had with somebody to be real like that. And they're like, hey, if you're not a good fit for the program, then we'll find a place for you to go. But like, you know, they called me back the next day and was like, you know, we talked it over and we definitely think that this is a place that maybe you can find some, you know, help. Can you be here on Friday? And I'm like, good Lord, it's Monday. You know what I mean? That,
Yeah.
or maybe, I guess
Yeah.
I can be there because I don't want to still be living this life that
Yeah.
I'm living right now and be broken inside. And it was like so, it seems like so long ago, but it seems like it was just yesterday, you know, 2000, I think it was 18 when I went. And it was like they had a shaman, a doctor of Chinese
Love
medicine,
it.
Reiki master, they had equine therapy, they had art therapy, music, yoga, you name it. They took us to church, they took us to the Buddhist temple, NAAA, everything on top of psychiatrist and detox and you know what you would have at your standard mental health
Yeah.
facility. But it really opened my eyes to the fact that recovery is different for all people and that
Yes.
it looks different and that different tools could be utilized. Non-traditional avenues can be utilized to help people, and music being one of those, or art or poetry or
I love that. I wish I could go and just reopen it. That's a lot of what our group wants to do, except we want to have a bus and do it. But if we had a retreat center,
It
that's a
was an old
thing.
Boy Scout camp, I'm pretty sure that it was in Santa Fe. It was beautiful, like
I love
city.
that.
It was awesome. So yeah, I'm all about it. How do we get this bus going?
I know, I know. No, it's just so true. Like, I love that you're talking about the different avenues of healing because I think that, I mean, we could talk about stigmas forever and ever, but I think that one, the more that we talk about the mental health and how there everybody is not the same, and that mental health is so much more than just I'm sad or I'm depressed. And it's not you either have mental health issues or struggles, or you don't, because everybody does. I'm like, if you've lost someone that you've loved, you've struggled with your mental health. And if you haven't, there's a bigger problem, right? There's a bigger problem.
It's
And
called
so,
denial, which is also a mental health issue.
exactly, like you can't get away from it. And so, for there to be so many different avenues to reach so many different people, that's in fact why our group's called Blend Your Spirit, because that's what it is. It's just a cluster of all different kinds of things, and you have to find what works for you. And if you're not open to look at other avenues, then you may not get what you need, you know?
It's true, and it's so sad and unfortunate. And it's kind of, when I started doing it, I started planning this out in 2016, around the end of 2016. And then we had our first, I started a business called Music is Life. And that's what I did the first Break the Silence Suicide Awareness Festival, is what we called it back in the day. And it's just so much more than that. It's just Break the Silence Festival now, because it's morphed. But it was an event planning business. I did concerts. I brought bands to the bars in town, and it was like I was going to open a venue and a cafe. I'm just, doing my thing in 2017, and it was like, no, this is not your thing, like. You got to pause and take time for yourself. But then I think I lost a little bit of that, along the way, because who prioritizes self-care? People who are not me, apparently, because it's a
We're
problem.
gonna fix that.
Yes, I'm really gonna try hard to start prioritizing
We're gonna
myself
work on
and
that.
you prioritize other people. So I thought when I got back that it was gonna be so much easier. That I got all these tools. And it was, because once you see things differently, and that you have like a direction, a goal, things that you can work towards, it kind of, there was a lot of growth, and it was super hard. And unfortunately, I got divorced in 2019. Then we had the pandemic, and everything was super crazy. And I thought, like, I thought I'm losing this, I'm losing it, I'm losing my mind, like multiple times. But we didn't ever have to take a break. It just kept growing, and the community that I live in got behind it immediately, and the support, the outpouring of, we believe in what you're doing, and we want to make a difference. Raising awareness was what we started to do, because back then, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, that was the biggest disconnect. People didn't talk about mental health. That changed. That shifted. That shifted, when the whole world had to go through what the whole world had to go through. Now everybody's talking about it. And that's awesome. But what's the disconnect now? People accessing care, finding non-traditional programs or what works for you, understanding that recovery is different for everybody, and that it's not just substances that you can be in recovery from. You know what I mean? So, what about respecting everybody's recovery journey? It's crazy. So we became a nonprofit in 2019. The community was just like behind me the whole way. Hey, if you became a nonprofit, so many more doors could open, more things could be happening, you could do programs, you could have all this. I never dreamed of any of this, which makes it like a godsend. Like, I believe that the universe
Now
was like,
it's beautiful. I love it.
this is your path. So it started blowing up, and now we have our resource center that became an idea through the pandemic. And we pushed through that. We didn't get our grants. We sat on it, but we opened up in 23, 2023, and it's just been blowing up. And the festival is growing, and I'm super excited for you to see it there, to
I'm excited.
be a part of it, to like document it, get people's
Yeah.
stories from that day. It's going to be really awesome. But it's, in a nutshell, it's kind of grown with me and changed with me and healed with me, I guess. Sharing it has, or cultivating it, giving a platform, using music as a platform to bring the communities together, expanding out into Denver, working with the talent there,
Yeah.
finding my team of people over the last 10 years. It's just been so amazing. I'd start name dropping, but then, we'd be here all night, because
Yep.
it's just wonderful to have that support and to feel like we can utilize music to reach people that are struggling. We can say, hey, we're here, we're doing this thing. How do you see yourself being involved? Let's build a community for those people who feel like they're alone and they don't have anyone.
This is why we do what we do,
100%.
because everybody has a story, and I've probably told you this. I think healing starts when your story starts being heard.
Yes,
And if
you
you,
said that, and I literally started crying. I was like, that is why I named this
oh,
Break the Silence, okay?
yeah.
I'm done struggling in silence. I'm tired of meeting other people whose voices are not being heard because they're afraid of that stigma. I'm afraid of saying, hey, you guys, I might be too much. I might be too much. But you know what? People have been telling me all week long, because I've been in it. Like, I'm just figuring out now that I'm my biggest problem to, I'm my biggest block,
You are your
and
biggest
I'm like,
block.
oh my God, I don't love myself. I am so mean to myself. I do not give myself space, and I need to fix that. I need to be accountable for that, and I need to fix that. And so I've been doing this for 10 years, and I've been talking about how important it is, and I'm missing the biggest piece. Wow.
True, no, true. That's so true. I teach, I think, because I can learn more about myself as I'm teaching others, because I do think that other people's healing can start from hearing our journey. You know, it's all that interconnected, and knowing it's like, oh man, I have stood in my own way. 'Cause even though I'm teaching you, you can do it. You're amazing. You're beautiful. Don't doubt it. And then I'm like, what if someone sees me?
Yeah, but oh, they're gonna know. They're gonna know I'm so fucked up. So
Yeah, but the thing is that's the whole reason why I'm wanting to do it. It's like, you're fucked up, mama. We're all fucked up. Like, we like the more that we talk about
yep,
the
there's
mental
a song
health,
about that. Just
right?
kidding, but there is.
But it's like the more that we all share like the struggles, you know, I talk a lot about grief and about losing people and how that does a whole whirlwind on you. But the more we talk about it, the more that it's not, you know what? You're messed up because you feel that way. Like it becomes like the normal of you're just a human being. Like,
You have to normalize it, normalize the conversation, normalize it, and then also hope it is real. If you can provide that for somebody, you might be in the worst day of your life. And I heard a friend of mine say one time, I'm just arguably could have missed the best day of my life had I succeeded in. How many best days am I missing so far? You know what I mean? Like, that is so real. Let's think about it. Today really sucked. When I went to that place and I didn't want to be there, and I was crying and I was pity partying and boohooing, and 26 days to go until maybe I can convince these people that I could leave early. I might figure that out. If anything, I wish I could have stayed longer, and I kind of want to go back, honestly, right now, and just take it more of the in. But it was kind of like, oh wow, like I get there and I hear a person talking about where he was before he came in, and he was leaving, and he was like saying a thank you to all the people, and he was burning all the stuff that he did while he was there, because that was the thing. You take all of your art therapy projects, you put it all in the fireplace, and you burn it, and you leave it there. So he was doing that, and I was hearing him talk, and I was like, I came out of that, this is stupid, it's all fucking dumb, I don't need to be here, this isn't gonna help me type of mentality. And I heard him talking, and I won't share his story. It was like, he didn't trigger me, but it was like, oh my God, this person is talking about literally his last, what would have been his last moments on this planet, and that God had another plan for him, and that he learned that hope was real, and that you can come back from anything as long as you choose to keep going. You know what I mean? Like, just keep going. And so that really stuck with me. And I was like, if I, like, he planted just that tiny mustard seed of hope. So if I can be that for somebody, and I have that still inside, then, you know, we're all good. Like, that's all we
Yeah,
need.
no, it is true. And I mean, I can speak because I am so grateful that you're still here, right? And we never would have met, but think about all the things that you've done. Like when you don't think that you're valuable or you don't think that you're worth it or you think that you're too much, sometimes the personalities that feel like they're too much are the go-getters, the ones that get stuff done. And so look at all the things that you've been able to accomplish, right? And all the people that you're impacting, not even knowing that you're impacting just because you're still here.
Yeah, thank you. Those are not the things that I think about.
I know, but you have to definitely appreciate how far you came because even though you may not have been there and like been giving like all your 100% when you're in there, you were still in there, right? And so you are taking those seeds and you have those parts of you and you did the work, right? No one else did the work, no matter what you think.
Yeah,
Like you did the
true.
work, you did the work.
I did that shit.
Yeah,
Yep.
you did. So you have to start looking at those things, right? Because I mean, I am absolutely in awe with what you do and the festival and all those different things. And it impacts so many people. And what's beautiful about it is it impacts people that you would never think would it would impact a lot of the time.
Yeah, and sometimes I'm just like, and I say it out loud. And somebody said to me one time, you don't really believe that. And like when they said that, it was like I got punched in the stomach. I was
Oh,
like,
yeah.
but I do, because I really do want every single human that lives on the planet to be a happy, healthy, contributing member of society. Like, I love somebody enough to say, like, I want you to be happy and healthy, even
Right.
if I don't like you. I want that for you because I can't hold on to anything else. And I didn't used to be that way. I used to be very negative. I guess it's still something that I'm working on. But at that moment, I was like, but I do want that. And I do believe that. And it's just sad that there are so many people who don't, you know, or they don't understand how hurtful words and actions can really be. You can
Yeah.
abuse people without actually like hitting them. You know what I mean? So.
Absolutely. And you have, and I think that in my experience, a lot of the older generation is very much like, you're not depressed, just pull up your big girl panties and move the F on. And it's like, okay, well, one, you don't get to say what I'm going through because you don't know your chemistry, your brain, everything, the trauma that you have, everything's completely different for every single person. And what may seem like is something silly to me may be life-changing for someone else. And I think a lot of the older generation has built those thoughts into, those of us underneath. And so I think it's uncovering a lot of those things because it's just not something that's talked about. At it's talked about more now, but I think it's just not talked about enough. If it was, then all of us wouldn't always feel alone in our struggles.
Exactly. And you have those, but if you think about it, just with the evolution or whatever, I don't know what the proper term is for mental health and or the acceptance and talking about it, 100 years ago wasn't really that long ago, and you were like damned. Well, 50 years ago, they were still doing lobotomies, right? Taking out part of your brain. Come on, let's be real. So I can understand why those generations have that deep-seated,
Because they're like, shh, you want to
like,
keep your
rooted
brain? Shh,
in. Duh,
you want
don't
to keep
talk
your
about
brain?
it. Exactly. They're gonna
Shh, be
take your
quiet.
frontal
They're gonna
lobe.
take your brain.
Yes, just because my frontal lobe shuts off when I'm triggered doesn't mean I don't still need it to live.
Please keep it in my head.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
So like I know I'm like let's it's not funny, it's really not, it's like it's sad to think about how many people are afraid to talk about it, and I'll say let's make a joke about it, because at the end of the day, like every I don't know anybody who hasn't been impacted by some sort of trauma or grief or mental health struggle or issue, they themselves or somebody directly in their circle. Like the ripple effect is real when, you know, you start thinking about people who lose their battle, how many lives are impacted just by that one person. So talking about it is so important.
It's huge. It's huge. I lost my brother due to addiction, and he was a football player, and he was big and strong and went to college football and all those things. And watching him kind of deteriorate, from his addiction and then ultimately succumb to it was one of those moments where it flipped the switch for me. And it was like, no, like it doesn't matter, if you're an addict, if you have mental, struggles, if you are suicidal, if you're bipolar, if you have BPD, I don't care what it is. Like, I just don't care. I don't want another soul to walk away from me and not feel like you're valued at some point. There's just no reason with all these humans in the world for
Yeah.
us to have to feel that way, and it's losing people, whether it be to natural causes, that's hard enough, right? That's hard enough. But if you lose them to self-inflicted or addiction or anything like that, it really does leave behind the people questioning if they did everything that they could to help you. And then in the end, you know that it's a personal choice that they made. But if you could be there, right? What if? What if? And that's where it
Yeah,
always gets me. Like if
absolutely.
I have the option, I'm gonna do something about it. There's no reason not to.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry. That is just devastating. When you see that and you have that perspective, though, and you can take it and try to help other people with it, it's game changing.
It is. And it lights that fire in you, really. I mean, my best friend, she's very open. She talks about, her struggles with addiction and things like that. And, we talk openly about like some days are harder than others. And I think people, when you're talking about addiction or you're talking about struggle with mental health or whatever it may be, like it doesn't ever just go away for most people. It's still there and it still can be a struggle because there's different triggers and all those things. And I think that there's such a misconception that, if you go through therapy, then you're fixed. If you stop doing drugs, then you're no longer an addict. If you don't drink alcohol, then you're not an alcoholic. Like
So I'll be
it's
the first to say, you know, we know that's not true because
right.
I am an addict. They say, is it real that you can have an addictive personality or whatever? Yes, it's absolutely real. Because just because I don't do hardcore street drugs or pharmaceuticals anymore, like pain pills, whatever, I'm not drinking alcohol, doesn't mean I don't get addicted to TV shows or going to concerts or compulsively spending money. That's a huge problem for me. There's other things to be addicted to. And if you don't address the root cause, the triggers of those behaviors, what trauma causes you to do those things to buy your moment of happiness, your next dopamine hit, then you're gonna have something that you're addicted to for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right, 'cause they're let's just name some things for anybody who thinks that they are not addicted to anything. I think everybody has like some things, and I think it's fine for a lot of things, like in moderation, but like food, like emotional eating is a huge thing. And people definitely, I'm struggling or going through like my whole revamp of understanding like what an impact that can make on you. And I'm completely changing my life, but it's that is there. And some people call it food noise, some people call it drug noise, some people call it, alcohol noise, some people shopping. Like shopping's it's so good. It gives you such a good thing. Right? It really does.
It's that instant gratification. And then I
It
get
is.
home with the shit and I'm like, I don't even need this.
It's having to have.
That's
And
so
so
stupid.
many people, I think so many more people don't if they were open to looking inside themselves a little bit more, they might understand it a little bit, you know, on a different level, at least, you know, because it's there. We're, you know, it's filling something, you know, filling a spot for something else. And it doesn't just go away. It moves to something different, or you start looking internal and you just struggle because it's still there, but you do make it through if you try.
You absolutely have to keep trying. And I hear that so much. And it's just like 100% true. I keep a friend of mine, and he says, too, happiness is a choice. And it absolutely is.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for me to wake up and choose to be happy sometimes. Yeah. And so I just don't. And that is part of the problem. So,
yeah, no, I mean, you're human, right? And that's what I always have to say. We're human. We're not going to be perfect. I could tell you a lot of the right answers. Do I follow them all? Not always.
Not every time. There's so many things to be happy about and grateful for.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
That totally matters. And so I'm learning that a lot, and I can live in the, you know, in the diagnosis or in the emotional overwhelm, or I could be like, oh, that week sucked. And it really got to me this time. And wow, I hope it's not for as long next time. But the truth is, I have so many amazing people in my life, and I have such an awesome team. And like, music is impacting my life in a way I never thought possible. And it's bringing so many connections and so many people into my life. And I get to do stuff like put on this huge festival with these people who help me every year and give it to the community, if you will, to like participate in, and hopefully just take away some piece of positivity. It's okay to be hurting. It's okay to be broken. And, you know, while I was living that, this week has been really so hard, I'm not going to unpack and move in there, because I've got better things to do with my life and time.
I'm not trying to stay there. I got big things coming.
I'm learning these things, and I'm going to rip the band-aid off, and I'm going to cry about it for a little bit. And then I'm going to figure out how to be better about it. So thank you for talking to me about this and inviting me on. And
oh gosh. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I have a couple more questions if you're good.
Oh, I'm here all night. Just kidding.
All night. You and I could. We could. And we will sometime, right? We'll just keep on the journey here.
Follow up.
Yeah.
10-year anniversary next year. We're doing that's crazy.
I love it. I love it. So do you have bands that have made a difference to you? Is there any certain bands? Because I've talked to you a little bit about mine.
Absolutely.
But who is some of your bands?
So I can't. I'm just like, if I had to pick, Shinedown is my all-time favorite band. I literally have like a whole sleeve.
I love it.
Devoted to Shinedown.
Love it.
They've been, but if I had to name a few, you know, bands, Adelita's Way, Art of Dying, Three Pillow Marking, Art of That, Raining, Inside It's Raining. Mm-hmm. Never get, dude, for real. It makes my arm hair stand up just thinking about the melody. It's that album. I could pick albums. Vices and Virtues was a big
I love
album.
God for a Day. That one really speaks to me because it's something I was like, if I could do that, I would. How does he know what I would do?
Are you inside my head right now?
Right? But,
you know, Pop Evil. There's so many bands. Yeah. I have the Amity Affliction hugely speaks to my soul, asking Alexandria, Papa Roach, he Disturbed. I don't know. I can't, I can't even begin. I can tell you that, concerts are my happy place. And I just feel at home when I can feel the music, and it takes me, I just think about, oh, you know, when I seen Parkway Drive, that was by far the best show I've ever seen in my life, you know? So I could, there's a lot. Shinedown for real is a big impact on my life. If I could only pick one, it would be that one.
Have you met the Shinedown guys?
Yes, I did a meet and greet in 2019, and I shamelessly plugged my own show that year. And I was like, we have Adelita's Way coming even. It's going to be so awesome, because it was.
Yeah.
And it was so badass. And they came through the pandemic, and we didn't even have to like we didn't even have to like fold it up for a year because we bent over backwards.
That's and great.
Our community was like, well, if you like the health department, everything, we did everything and we were able to set it up. So that was way awesome. But yeah, that year I met them and I was like, oh, have you ever considered playing like a small show? And I think the message was something like, reach out to us when you're a nonprofit. I've been trying. I don't know. Nobody's
hello. Hello.
Shine down. It's 10
Shine
years
down.
Here. You would really change my life. I could, you know, say that my biggest dream was achieved. Yeah. Also, though, it would be really cool to have 10 years play for my 10 year show on, you know,
be fun.
Optimist is like, that's very optimistic.
Yeah. I have to say that one of my big goals, like ultimately still, which you're kind of just playing a part in me being able to be a part of it as well, is to do a festival like this and have Otherwise there because they're that impactful to me. So I love, I mean,
girl, let's set one up. We're
yeah, it's Oklahoma, just show.
Right. I'm trying to get out of Colorado. Just saying.
Yeah, no, that is one
and
of my things.
Message nationwide.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's my goal for sure. So if you were to say, what would you say to the bands who have changed your life? If you could leave them with a message outside of you guys listen and come play, what would it be to them for them to know something? Because I'm finding that a lot of bands, even though they know and they write the music and it's their mental health, really, that's their art, right, medium that they use.
Yep.
They don't often understand the impact that it has on people that's truly life-changing. What would you say to them?
They don't. I would say, thank you for always being there and never letting me down.
Yeah.
That's it. Like just thank you for continuing to make music that's impacting people's lives, because you know, when they're putting that pen to paper, they're speaking from somewhere. So they're sharing their stories with us. And yeah, just thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no, I think that that's something that I will always push is just the appreciation, because I think that it's like it, and I've said this before, like, it's not just a song. Don't you try to take away my importance of this song. It's changed my life. But I think too, the community that you build, you know, with music, that's just like you and I meeting, like you meet people and you end up having these lifelong really relationships, because it is family, not the family that treats you bad, but it is the family. Yeah. It's the family that like, hey, I get you.
Choose.
Yeah, I get you. And then you go to a different state and they're like, hey, you stay with me. Like this, you know, you go everywhere and you have these pieces of you. I often will say I travel a lot and leave pieces of my heart all over the United States. And I am not back whole until I'm traveling to go find those pieces.
I'm going back to pick them up. Yes.
Yeah,
I
love
that. I think for a lot of people, and it is not just a song. How dare people, you know, because for real, it's like, okay, for example, mine is Miracle, Shine Down Miracle. That's my jam. But it doesn't mean for me probably what it meant for them when they wrote it. But I take away, you know, that, you know, ever changing the storyline that keeps me alive. Like that's my jam right there.
Yeah. The availability for it to be the background music of your journey, I think, is why it's impactful. Like music has that ability to take you back in those moments. And so you literally have a soundtrack to your life within your soul, you know, of all the music that you have. Yeah.
You can say, oh, you know, I remember when I first heard this, I was like 21 and whatever. Yeah. It was 2016, I went here, you know, you remember those things. It's like, you get to hold on. And as a hoarder of memories, like you get to have that always and no one can take that away from you. So I think that's what music is for a lot of people. You know, that's
I think it is too. It's that so consistent.
It'll transcend everything, I guess.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the only consistent that someone has, and it sounds silly to some people, but it's like, you know, you think about those times as a teenager, if you're struggling and you're in your room, if you're crying or you get sent to your room or whatever, what did you grab? Like you would grab the music and you'd find a sad song or you'd find a really mad song and you'd just like, like just go at it, you know.
For me, it was the 90s, so it was alternative into grunge.
Right, pop, right.
New metal came along and that was a whole new ball game for me.
Right, right. So it's just, yeah, it's this beautiful thing that really is this intersection of all of these pieces of us that just has the ability to connect like communities and then connect emotions and things like that.
Absolutely, 100%. That's why I thought, I think it was a God thing. It was the universe, you know, because I'm like, what should I do? What can I do?
Yeah.
Oh, you should do a concert. Yeah. At first I was kind of like, that's funny.
Right.
I'll do that. I don't know how, but then here we are.
Yeah.
You know, on our 9th year of doing it. And this year we have some really exciting things, you know.
Talk to me a little bit. I know we talked a little bit about the festival. Talk to me kind of what the festival looks like. When is the festival this year? Talk to us all about that good stuff.
Yes, absolutely. It's super exciting. So we always have it on the first Saturday in September. So sometimes it falls on Labor Day weekend, sometimes it doesn't. So this year it doesn't. But we are, it's super exciting with everything that's going on. We do a Ride for Life. So it's, we partner with a motorcycle club that's putting together, a poker style run for, cars and bikes. So that's exciting. We'll have all kinds of kids games and, an arcade bus, hopefully a petting zoo. We set up, we're doing it differently this year. So we're setting up more of a resource fair, to give the resources more time and attention. And then we're hoping to have around 70 vendors and artists. We're inviting artists to join our Creative Healing Arts Corner, which is really fun. That's something that we brought last year. My friend Brandy had just this amazing idea to integrate art because, of course, yeah. Recovery is not always music or what have you. And so everybody's healing journey is different. So we tried that out last year and it was awesome. So we're doing that again this year. And then we have some really amazing talent, obviously. We're hoping to bring a whole new avenue with putting together maybe a bike wash or having some wrestling or integrating some new and exciting talent things to do jam circles, stuff like that.
Yeah. So
I don't even know, we're expanding. I know with having a lot more bands that we're announcing probably over with the next couple of weeks, which is the cool thing is it's a free event. So anybody is welcome. It doesn't cost anything to come and see what we're all about and enjoy any of the live entertainment. That's all free. Of course, we want you to bring money to check out all of the vendors and buy some food and hang out. We're also doing a silent auction. It's very impactful. This year, we're expanding the memory wall. For example, we do have a memory wall, so we put that up every year. And it's just a space for us to honor the ones that we've lost. And this year with integrating more of the recovery piece of it, we have cut out completely like our beer garden. So we're not going to be selling alcohol anymore, but we are integrating more space and the memory wall for anyone who's been lost to addiction as well. Just because I think that it goes unfortunately hand in hand. Yeah. And there's just so many times that you just don't know, like yeah. We're collaborating with, okay. Our Veteran Suicide Awareness and Prevention Program here, in town as well to put together a presentation, do a moment of silence. And I'm hoping to see that they're able to organize a color guard or something of that manner. So
Sure. Look at you go,
You're doing a
girl.
lot of stuff, girl.
I'm
There's
proud
gonna
of
be more
you.
things
That's
for
so
everyone.
fun.
Come and hang out.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. So, how can people support the cause outside of the festival? Do you do donations? I know you're nonprofit. Tell us where people can go to support that.
Yes, absolutely. We rely heavily on donations. The support, seriously, is a huge impact on all of the things that we're able to do with the Resource Center and the festival as a whole, providing all of our programs for free, of course, to anyone in need. So our website has a donate section, which is amazing. That's www.breakthesilenceinc.org. You can find out all kinds of information on what we're up to. We're actually getting a store put together so you can buy some Break the Silence merchandise, like this really cool cup
I
and
love that.
t-shirts. So much
Nice.
swag. Just kidding. But you can find us online. The festival, we have all kinds of ways that you can participate by volunteering or donating something for the silent auction. We have opportunities for lots of ways to participate. So,
Okay,
yes.
so all my people that are listening that are in my group, if you have a small business and you want to donate for the silent auction, I am going there. So hint, hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Yes. Bring us some really cool
Okay.
items. Yes. It's always awesome to see that come together, and it gets, we have to expand the space that we allow for it
Love
every
it.
year, which is a really cool and exciting thing to needing to do. So I find a lot of there's a lot of stigma and there's a lot of hurt and sadness and stuff that, like, surround the word mental health or suicide, the taboo recovery or addiction. And albeit it is hard and it is very traumatic, we need to still be celebrating the wins and being here for those hard days and making a space for people to come together. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, and if you can't see the wins, you need to find people, surround yourself with people that see your wins. And if you don't have those people, you're not with your right people.
You got to find your right tribe. You got to find your tribe.
You gotta find your people. And so, I appreciate you coming on.
Yes, I've
It was
loved this
great.
every second of it.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Authentic Life with KL, where we explore the powerful intersection of healing and music. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give a follow and share with your friends. You can find more information about The Authentic Life of KL and Kitty Lynn at kittylynn.com, kittylynne.com. Thanks so much for listening.